The objectives of this next exposition is about, first of all, to review the evidence for the impact of obesity on airway disease, asthma, to review the role of obesity as a susceptibility factor to air pollution in asthma, and finally, to describe findings from diet, metabolomics, and gut microbiome studies to find early life biomarkers and intervention targets for the early development of obesity and associated asthma disease. Again, we are going to describe a bit of the studies and ongoing research that our group in Hopkins are currently doing. Nothing to disclose. Okay, it's well known that obesity rates are increasing with a big clear peak starting in the 80s in US. And the same is happening with the asthma prevalence, where the percentage of US population with asthma increased from 3% in the 80s until 8.4 close to 9 in the recent decade. So in adult asthma, there is no doubt the role of obesity, and in many studies in multicentric and meta-analysis show that clear association. We are talking about BMI and asthma prevalence in children and young adults. The data is not too consistent. And in this one, we are showing results from NAHENS. It's a big national survey in US. And indeed, we are looking at this relationship between the increment of BMI percentile for age. But if you saw this relationship is more clear and hardly in non-atopic, and although in atopic also is happening, there is a difference in this pattern. And we are going to talk about a bit more about this difference between a specific subgroup, children with asthma, obese, but with this different phenotype of atopy. We have the cause of asthma. We, in our group, we are working a lot of with pollutants and the role of indoor pollution in asthma, allergens co-infection, and also start to look how obesity mediate this effect through the inflammation pathway or also through the airflow limitation to increment the symptoms of asthma. Some of the pathway association between, to explain this effect of obesity over asthma are multifactorial, right? Starting with the genetic and epigenetic factors that could start in early life of the person, environmental factors like diet, nutrition, exposition during the prenatal or infant diet, also physical activity could start to make this pathway for association. There are also mechanical effects like changes in elasticity of chest wall, and which is well reported how this make worse the lung function and decreasing all the current spirometry values. And the other pathway through the inflammation is reported the increment of interleukin 6, leptin, and adiponectin, and how also these be related with the airway inflammation. Overall, talking about non-eosinophil pattern with neutrophilia. We also know about a non-inflammation pathway, and this is for basically with the disruption of ANS and carry out with a bronchoconstriction. And finally, there are some studies mentioned that it's important the obesity onset, the composition and the duration, and this making chain of the asthma. So it's a complex relationship, and there are many multifactorial factors that could, and pathway that could explain the association. So we are going to focus on how obesity as a susceptibility factor to air pollution, trying to understand how obesity is acting in related with asthma. So to explain this, there is a big Chinese study in children where they show how obesity enhanced respiratory health effects of ambient air pollution. The groups overweight and obese comparing to normal weight, showing these increased symptoms in response to NO2, PM10. They also show increased risk of doctor diagnosis of asthma in response to sulfur dioxide and PM10. There are another study in adults, also this in case also in US, showing how poor asthma control and exposure to traffic pollutant and obesity, having obesity a role to increment and the exacerbation and also making worse the ACQ score or the CAT score. But this association is not showing when we have BMIs less than 30. So how obesity also it's related with the airway hyperresponsiveness may alter response to ozone. This study in 2007 also showed how per groups of obesity, the decrement and the lung function it is higher in the groups of only obesity, not overweight. When we're talking about another study about children and with persistent asthma, being overweight also increases susceptibility to indoor pollutant among urban children with asthma. So this is a study that was done in Baltimore schools, and it was a self-report of symptoms and show how the group with overweight and obese children have a worse response or reporting more nocturnal problems or exercise-related symptoms if they belong to this category. When it's kind of a curious note that the data could differ. Sometimes overweight and obese groups could act at one, and in others only, like this case, the relationship is more consistent in the overweight group compared with the obese one. I want to detain here. So this is an important thing. There are many variations and data not consistent. It's not that with obese or overweight have an effect in asthma, but the results or the finding could change depending on the cutoff and the populations. And some studies criticize that if BMI should be the best way to be used as a proxy of obesity or overweight, and other studies are trying to move forward and trying to look at data from bioimpedance or fat mass to explain better this relationship, saying that this cutoff for obesity or overweight overall in children's could be biased because most of the big studies that were used for get this cutoff are based on population from developing countries or for specifically in the case of US from Caucasian population, and we use those profiles and those percentiles to apply in any different studies all over the world. So that is one factor that could explain some kind of inconsistent data between the overweight and obese groups in the relationship with asthma. So talking about potential mediators of susceptibility, it's also there are studies showing that the difference in particulate deposition due to difference in breathing pattern exactly what we saw. We saw that evaluating tidal volumes and per body mass index, these tidal volumes was increased anytime that we are increasing the BMI, and also the particulate deposition increase with increasing tidal volume. So that should be an explanation for this pathway, how body size on breathing pattern, body size have this effect on breathing pattern, incrementing the particulate deposition in this case in children. We reproduced the same in a study in Hopkins with adult population, and the results were clear. So potential mediators of susceptibility, we described in the previous slide the difference in particulate deposition due to difference in breathing patterns. Also, it's proposed the enhanced oxidative stress and inflammatory response to pollutant exposure. Also, how this could enhance the hyperresponsiveness related to adiposins. Also, is postulated how corticosteroid resistance with increased weight, and of course, it's mentioned differential prevalence in when we put comorbidities in this relation. With this information, we started a study. It's called the Airways study, and the goal is try to disentangle the relationship between obese and asthma in children, and how this is a susceptibility, how obesity is a susceptibility factor for indoor pollution, and at the same that we mentioned in previous exposition, we start a clinical trial using air purifiers, the one that we are trying to develop and standardize. This is a home-based intervention in 200 children with asthma from 9 to 17 years old. And the idea is characterize this response to PM reduction in obese overweight groups versus the lean group. And since we are talking about environmental exposure and how obesity is linked with asthma, it's important to start to look in the dietary changes in U.S. And this previous study in the Earthway 1 that is starting, we are going to assess the dietary changes, the dietary patterns, because it's clear that the relationship in how fast food started in the 60s and have an increment in spending in the U.S., and this could be related also with the change in the prevalence of obesity and asthma. There are related to that and how diet impacts asthma. There are many observational evidence mentioned how some nutrients like vitamin C, D, E, the omega-3 fatty acids, how foods like fruit, vegetables, and healthy food and fish could this impact. How the dietary patterns, right? And here, many examples about how the good role of the Mediterranean diet to help in this impact of the diet over asthma, and how for the other side, the Western diet pattern and overall the high processed meat could have a negative impact. There are also a longitudinal study that was post-evaluation from this big cohort, the ARIC, the Atherosclerosis Risk Community Study, which is an older study from the 80s. But the data was not analyzed to look the change on the dietary intake and body mass index, looking at the outcome of and changes in asthma. So we look on that relationship and keep it at adjusting by diet pattern the relationship between BMI and the odds of having more asthma is clear and remains the same. The same when we double check for another respiratory symptoms like wheeze, cough, or phlegm, there was an increment of the symptoms at the same time that we are increasing the BMI. When the group examined the diet pattern and trying to divide in the Western ones versus one internal that they call prudent diet pattern, it was clear the high factor and importance of food like red meat, processed meat, French fries, eggs, soda drink, and in asthma and in obesity, and for the other side, how a prudent diet pattern is helping to decrease this this prevalence. So here the red is the Western diet, right? And you could see how phlegm, for example, the off of this reporting these symptoms are higher when you are in the higher percentile, 1 to 5 are the percentiles. And meanwhile, with the prudent diet, in the case of cough, if you follow that kind of pattern of diet, the symptoms of the symptoms as cough decrease, and so that's showing the good and the positive effect. With this negative pattern of diet, there were many some studies trying to prove how high fat diet and as a challenge it could increase the airway inflammation and impairs bronchodilator recovery and asthma. The idea is trying to see how modifying the dietary fat intake may be useful in asthma. For that, we know that there is a pattern, a prudent pattern, but does not explain exactly how is the pathway with diet, in increase of these high-fat diets goes to obesity, and obesity carries to asthma and the increment of exacerbations or having a negative profile. So to go more deeper in the mechanisms, our studies about the metabolomic profile, the idea is finding early life biomarkers and intervention targets for the early development of obesity. The idea should be get this biochemical profile of this specific asthma obese phenotype. This is an example of one study in Peru where using serum from children with asthma and divide in 4 categories, asthma overweight obese versus asthma lean, control overweight obese versus control lean, and running this metabolomic profile show a clear difference. Here on the left, we have the asthma group. To the right is the control group. Then in the upper portion are the children with categorized as overweight obese. And in the bottom portion is the children with a normal weight. So doing this metabolic profile and after running an specific statistic analysis that is called principal component analysis, the data and the different metabolites just help to differentiate the groups clearly between overall in the group who have asthma, the blue versus the green square. And trying to identify exactly which metabolites are responsible for this group separation. Four of them was the ones more that driven this this separation, and was niacin, ascorbic acid, isopropyl acid, and betaine. The biochemistry behind these changes still need further investigation, but this kind of research and analysis is open a pathway to understand better how obesity and change how create this specific asthma phenotype. And what I was mentioned right here is just showing how, in the case of niacin, the values that was reported after running this metabolomic profile were higher in the population with in the group with overweight and obesity. In this case, for both for asthma and for control people, and how ascorbic acid help to make the differentiation between asthmatics and control group. So that is an example of how new techniques are trying to help us to understand this pathway and this relationship. Other way that we're trying to disentangle this relationship between asthma and children was with gut microbiome. This is a pilot study also in Peru population, children from 10 to 16 years old, and where after collection of stool samples and analysis of 16S sequence, it's showing a lower bacterial diversity in the asthma patients. So at the moment, it was new that the asthma profile it have a bacterial lower diversity, but this was reported in early life studies, and there was not a follow-up of to know if this different profile, microbiome profile, changed over the time. So this is one of the first studies showing that this bacterial diversity or low bacterial diversity can persist in childhood asthma. So what is saying to us this kind of result, right? So what happened with this different microbiota, and how this could help us to understand the relationship between asthma and we are talking about gut microbiome. And there are some early studies trying to understand how between the gut microbiome and the lung microbiome could be some kind of pathway, some kind of crosstalk communication.
Dr. Karina, you have 2 minutes more, please.
Okay, Amazon. So it's just to open our minds more and trying to look other factors that we are not investigating to understand this process. So I like it, this final slide, because show us that in this relationship, to disentangle this relationship, we need to do interdisciplinary approach, try to understand since not only environmental pollution, what happened with dietary pattern, what happened with the gut barrier function, how this impact the local immunity, how is the role of the physical activity, and finally how all these environmental factors change the metabolomic, the immune regulation, the epigenetic, and could roll to this chronic low-grade inflammation and make consistent this relationship between asthma or another allergy and immune disease and obesity. I guess I mentioned this still, but it's good to know. It's good to mention again. This obesity asthma link is different in age. There is some kind of failure of BMI to correlate with preschool asthma, and could suggest that what we are using, these BMIs percentiles, based on information and research from different settings, and we are trying to apply to our own settings in different countries with different culture, with different diet pattern, is carrying some bias and make that the data that we have is not too consistent. So as a summary, obesity has been linked to poor asthma control. Many studies about that, but in the case of children, because of the BMI cutoff, there are a bit of inconsistent yet. This may be partially be explained by increased susceptibility to air pollution, but there are many other mediators of this susceptibility that may shed light on obesity asthma phenotypes. There is an definite evidence supporting this, the role of dietary intake in asthma.
Thank you, Dr. Carino.